But probably the most important innovation in bone and antler was a small, inconspicuous artifact whose existence we've already talked about a little bit, and that is the eyed needle. Small, made of bone, ivory, little hole bored in the top with a fine flint awl. In that hole you thread, and then, having done that, you can fashion multi-layered, tailored, cold-weather clothing. It's funny, for years, people didn't really think about layered clothing. And then about the 1960s and 70s, particularly with the release of polar fleece, people began to think about wearing layered clothing, climbing mountains, hiking, sailing, whatever you want. The Cro-Magnons were well aware of layered clothing, as indeed were the Inuit and Eskimo in more modern times, because they worked in extreme sub-zero temperature outside, there were sharp temperature changes, and this sort of clothing is ideal for this. Furthermore, by sewing you could combine different hides and different skins, for example the fur of an Arctic fox, into such items as boots and the heads, the hoods of anoraks, because these different furs have different qualities. Some are waterproof, some insulate well against cold, and so on. The important thing about tailored clothing was that it enabled people to live out in the open year-round, on the Arctic semi-periglacial plains north of the more sheltered areas of southern Europe, the vast steppe tundra which covered Europe and Eurasia. They could settle there, living in houses, which we'll describe in a subsequent lecture, but venturing out in the coldest weather and still being warm and relatively comfortable. They were not just wearing skins like the Cro-Magnon, like the Neanderthals did. This was a major, inconspicuous revolution in human technology. When then did the first modern humans arrive in Eastern Europe? The answer is we're not absolutely sure, but we suspect it was around 45,000 years ago. These were round-headed, completely modern people, known to anthropologists as Cro-Magnons. After the Cro-Magnon rock shelter, which was found in 1868 during the construction of a railroad station near the small village of Les Aisy in southwestern France, which is a major center of Cro-Magnon research. We know, and all these dates come from radiocarbon dating, a method which is widely used for later prehistory and described in your guide. The Cro-Magnons, we know from these carbon dates, had settled in Western Europe somewhere around 38,000 years ago. In other words, the spread into Europe by prehistoric standards was probably fairly rapid. Again, it was this natural process of expansion. For some 5,000 to 10,000 years, they seemed to be living alongside a slowly shrinking Neanderthal population. As we've said several times, these people didn't interbreed with Neanderthals. If any modern analogies are correct, they probably pushed the Neanderthals out into more marginal areas, and they eventually became extinct. By between 30 and 31,000 years ago, the Cro-Magnons had Europe to themselves. What was this Europe like? It was very different from today. Huge ice sheets mantled Scandinavia and the Alps spreading out onto the plains surrounding. Huge ice sheets may have also formed in the Pyrenees between France and Spain. A broad zone of treeless rolling plains extended from the Atlantic coast deep into Eastern Europe and Eurasia, and all the way out into Siberia.